We're going to turn in our Bibles to our first scripture reading today, just a short one here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And we will be looking at various scriptures today as we consider the fact of what is Jesus Christ doing for us now that he has been to Calvary, now that he has been risen from the dead, now that he has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. What does he do in heaven on our behalf? And we'll be looking at that today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In the past few weeks, as we said, we have been interrupting our study on the book of Acts and have been looking at some of the things related to the ministry of Jesus Christ in those final days of his earthly living here with us. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we will be going back into our study of the book of Acts, but today I thought it would be fitting to round out our messages regarding Jesus and his work for us by reminding us that he is not finished yet working on our behalf. And as you can see here from the scripture passage that we just read a moment ago, it states here that Jesus Christ is right now our advocate, and this is something, of course, that is a great fact to know, that he is there on our behalf. We're going to be looking at this in just a moment. The Heidelberg Catechism, as some of you would probably know this, the Catechism tells us that Jesus Christ, in the sight of his disciples, ascended directly into heaven with all of them watching very closely. He was taken up from earth to heaven, and there he continues for our interest. You say, well, what is our interest? What is he doing for us? The Catechism says that he is doing these things until he comes back again. But what is happening now in the intervening time? And the first thing that we notice is the fact that he is our advocate. Jesus Christ is our defense attorney at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You notice John says here a rather remarkable statement. He said, if any of us sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Well, I don't want to get too personal here, but I suspect that if I said, have any of you sinned, I think you'd have to admit that certainly you fall into that category. And what we need to realize here, that when we're talking about the work of Jesus Christ now at the right hand of God, we're not talking about his obtaining our salvation for us, because that already has occurred at the cross. The work of Jesus Christ in payment for our sins is finished, and he has fully satisfied the Father and the demands that were necessary for our salvation. But there's one problem. Even though our sins are totally forgiven, all of the past, all of the present, and even all of the future sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, yet we know that we still fall into sin, and as a result of that, we need to do something about that. We need to resolve not the salvation question, but we need to resolve the fellowship question. Maybe an illustration will help get the point across. If someone has a member of their family, let's just say a son who is part of the family and born into the family and part of the family, and then one day they are involved in some type of sinful activity. Now, certainly, the family's not happy about that. But you know what? That does not take a person out of the family, does it? because they're already part of the family by reason of their birth. And that's the way it is too with believers in Jesus Christ. Once we are saved, once we are born again, we are savingly joined into the family of God. And the Bible's very clear that there is nothing in all of the world that can ever separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is secure. It is settled. It is eternal. However, what has been affected? Fellowship. And that fellowship needs to be resolved. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing right now. Because when we sin against God, and when we come to the Lord through Jesus Christ, our advocate, we are able to reestablish that continual fellowship with him. One of the reasons why we need to pray all the time about things like this is because there is barely a day that would go by in our lives that in some way we do not sin against God. We do it in our thoughts, we do it in our actions, we do it in our words. And what we want to do is not keep trying to make sure that we're saved again. No, that's already settled at Calvary. But what we need to do is keep ourselves in close fellowship with the Lord. And in order to do that, we need to come into his very presence through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that through Jesus Christ, there has been opened up a new and a living way where we are to come boldly into the presence of God, and we are to continue in that fellowship with him, not because of how good we've been, but because of the fact that Jesus Christ is our wonderful advocate. That's what he's doing for us right now. He's making sure that the lines of fellowship, the lines of communication are staying open. There's a second thing, however, that Jesus is doing now in the time that he is at the right hand of God the Father. I'm going to turn over now in my Bible. If you want to follow, you can. If you have the study notes in front of you, you'll see that these scriptures are there too if you want to look them up possibly at a later time. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, we read these words. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and over every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Across the page in my Bible here, there is another passage that picks up on the same thought. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. This is what we read. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved, raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his glory in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Both of these passages are talking about the same thing. Not only that Jesus died, not only that he rose, but that he has now taken us into heaven with him. And this is something I want you to keep in mind. You might wonder sometimes, boy, you know, there are days in my life when even though I know the gospel story, I don't always feel that I could possibly be a saved person, that I could really be saved. How can I be certain of that? I want you to realize that there's a couple of things talked about in those passages that we just read there. They all have to do with a guarantee that Jesus Christ is providing for us now by being at the right hand of the Father in heaven. First of all, Jesus Christ is the head of the body of Christ. If the head has already gone ahead of us and is already there at the right hand of the Father, we know that the body that belongs and is connected to that head is also going to join that head in future days. And of course, that's something that we need to keep in mind, because there's no question about the fact that we will be with him, that we will dwell with him forever. But the very fact that our head is already in heavenly places is something that guarantees our own placement there as well. We notice, too, that he ascended into heaven in his new and glorified body. And in that same body, he is going to also come again. And we know that when he comes, he will come with that new glorified body. But how are we also going to be able to ascend to be with him in heavenly places? Well, we know from the scriptures, it tells us that when Jesus comes again, that the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. But with brand new glorified bodies, those who are in Christ Jesus are going to be taken to be exactly where he is. Once again, the fact that he is there now already in that new and glorified body is a guarantee that one day we will all be there in that same condition as well. But you notice something else too. The Bible says here in the second of these passages that we read that we are already seated with him in the heavenly places. I want you to just get that picture a minute. The Bible says that he is the head over all things. All things are underneath his feet. And yet, where are you and I as believers? We're seated with him already in heavenly places. You say, well, I'm not in heaven yet. No, but as far as God is concerned, that is already a done deal. You are already in Christ Jesus. You are already seated with him in heavenly places. You might think, well, it's so hard to live as a Christian. How could I possibly live for Christ in a world like this? Listen, the Bible says that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are already at the same place where he is, and everything else is under his feet. Sometimes you think, how in the world can we live as Christians in this world? I mean, it's a difficult world. It's a world full of sin and temptation and challenges everywhere. And yet you need to realize that we are already on the victory side, because we are right there in Christ, and all of the world and its evils and so forth are beneath his feet. Where are we? We're there with him, but not where his beneath his feet. No, we are there with him already in our faith union with him. So Jesus is not only our advocate when we sin, he keeps the line of fellowship open. He also is a guarantee from at least three different ways of looking at this, guaranteeing our own placement there. In fact, if you look at the last thing we've been saying here, we're not only guaranteed our placement there, we are already in the mind of God, already seen to be in Jesus Christ, seated with him in those heavenly places. That's a beautiful thought. It's all possible because Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. Well, there's another thing in this, and that is something that we find talked about in other scriptures. I remember when we were growing up years ago that one of the scriptures that I heard people talk about quite often was this one from Matthew chapter 16. And there, Jesus Christ is said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is Jesus doing now at the right hand of the Father? He's building his church. You say, yeah, but he's up there. We're down here. The church is down here, but he's up there. Listen, Jesus Christ is already now building the church down here on earth, even though he is there at the right hand of the Father. And you say, well, how is he doing this? When you look at Acts chapter 1, you find out that Luke, when he describes this, he said, in my former treatise, Theopolis, I wrote to you about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach when he was here on earth. But now I'm going to continue telling you the rest of the story, and I'm going to tell you about all the things that Jesus is now continuing to do down here on earth as he builds his church. Even though he's up there, he's using people just like you and just like me to build the church of God. It's still Jesus' church. He's still the head of the church. We are the members of the body. But he has privileged us to be able to be involved in the very work that he is doing now in heavenly places for us down here on earth. We are able to be involved in that whole process as well. It's a wonderful thing. He continues to supply his people down here on earth with spiritual gifts. He supplies them with talents. He supplies them with abilities. He supplies them with resources. He gives us everything that we need to carry on the great work of God that God has continued doing. Even now, he's in heaven, we're down here, but we are vitally connected with him and involved in that building of the Church of Jesus Christ even right now. What a tremendous opportunity we have. You might think sometimes, boy, you know, church work can get hard sometimes. You know what? Think of what a great privilege it is to be involved in the very building of Jesus Christ's church. This is talking about the full body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are privileged to be a part of that whole work that is being carried on right now. Even here on earth, yet we are privileged to be a part of it. There's another thing that's talked about in Scripture here. And I want to turn over fourthly today to Colossians chapter 3. In the book of Colossians, we find something else here that is very significant as well. The Apostle Paul tells us what our amazing position is today to be in Jesus Christ. And I want to pick this up here at chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For we have died. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. How are we to be thinking as we go on our way through this world? Are we to be following the world's ideologies, the world's philosophies, the world's standards? Are we to live our earthly existence now with earth's values in view? No. The Bible says that we are to live our Christian lives with eternity's values in mind. We need to set our minds on the things that are above. Why? Because that's where our Savior is. And we are going to seek to imitate all that he is and all that he is doing. He is our director. He is our guide. So often in our lives we get all tangled up in what is really important and what isn't. I mentioned recently to some of you that we were in a restaurant in Holland, Michigan, or actually Hamilton, Michigan the other day. And while we were there in this restaurant, we happened to look, and there was a sign on the wall in this restaurant. And this is what it said. The best things in life aren't things. Who tries to convince you that the best things in this life are things? The world does. Get more money. Get better homes. Get better possessions. Get better positions. Get higher status. Achieve greater significance. None of those things are wrong necessarily in themselves, but you know what? When they become the values that are governing our lives, we are suddenly all mixed up. We're in the wrong direction. The Bible says that's not where we are to set our minds. We are not to focus them on earthly things of this life. There's nothing wrong with things. But remember, the best things are not things. Bible says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. But don't get caught up in the world standards. We need to get involved in the things that are pertaining to Christ. Christ is seated in the right hand of the Father in heaven. We are to set our minds on the things that are above where he is. Jesus is all that we want. We want to be more like Jesus every day. God didn't just save us at the cross so that one day when we die, we can go to heaven. Oh, he did that all right, but that's not what the whole plan of salvation is all about. God saves us so that we might only be saved, but also so that we might be learning how to live, to be more like Jesus, to becoming more and more determined to bring glory and honor to him, because that's why we're here in this world. It's not about us. It's not to honor us or to glorify us. It's all about glorifying him. And you know what? If our Savior is there already in heavenly places, if that's the one that matters most to us, then why shouldn't we be looking to him continually, doing all the things that he wants us to do, all the things that his word commands, all the things that his spirit directs, all the things that he has shown us, even by his own godly example while he was here in this world. All of these things are things that are above. And just because we do not see Jesus down here on earth right now with our visible eye doesn't mean that he is not around. He is very much there. And while he is there, he continues to provide the standard by which all of us are to be living our lives. There is one final thing, however, that when I think about what Jesus is doing for us, that to me is maybe the most significant thought about the ascension of Christ. And that is something that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, we read these words. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah and in connection with that tribe of Moses said nothing about priest. This became even more evident when another priest arises and in the likeness of Melchizedek. Okay, very important, right? That there was a new and better priesthood that came. But on the other hand, the Bible now tells us, as we drop down to verses 23 and following here, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Think of all the priests that you learned about while you were studying the Bible in younger days. You learned some of these names in Sunday school. Some of them you couldn't even pronounce. But you knew that they were priests in Israel and they had a role to fulfill. How long could they serve as a priest? Only, basically, as long as they were allowed to do so time-wise in the plan of God, and also as long as they carried out their duties responsibly. But what happened? These priests, one by one, came. They continued to carry on their activities, but it had to be repeated again and again and again. They died, then another one came, and on and on and on it went. Finally, however, we have the perfect priest, who is what? Jesus Christ. And now where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. What does Hebrews tell us about it? First of all, it tells us that he ever lives. There's not another person in the whole world quite like this one, because people somehow think, well, you know, this religious teacher of long ago, there's a real significant person. Let me tell you something. What is that compared to the fact that we have someone who is our King, who is our priest, who is our Lord and Savior, who is alive today and will ever be living always and always and always and always and will never die. And you know what he's doing there as our priest? He's praying for people like you and me. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for all of us. Isn't it great to know? Not only does the Spirit of God help us in our prayers to intercede properly, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the right hand of the Father, is continually living and is directly praying and interceding for all of us in all things. I don't remember who first mentioned this, but I remembered it from way back, one of those things, you know? You know how your mind works? But somebody said, just think once. If at a worship service like this, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ would appear right here in this room. And you would see him face to face. And of course, he would know every one of us because he knows his own and he calls them all by name. But then just think, if Jesus, after he was there, he turned and he started, well, he'd probably start right here with the birthday girl. And he would probably begin and he could go right down the list and know everybody by name and could pray for each one of you exactly what was necessary in the mind of God, in the will of God, for your best interest. What would you think if you could ever hear Jesus personally praying for you by name right there in your presence? Wow. Would you ever forget that prayer? You might walk out of here and you might forget many things in years to come or any other churches that you attend. But you know what? You'd never forget that. You can say, man, I'll remember that one day when there he was. He suddenly appeared and I heard Jesus, my Savior, pray for me. And he's alive and he's praying for me, for my sins, for my needs, for my blessings, for all the things that are important to him and are important to me. He knew exactly every one of them and he prayed for each one of them. Down through the list he went. Say, well, that's not going to happen here today, Tom. Let me tell you something. Distance makes no difference. It doesn't matter if you can see him right now doing that or not. Or if you know that he's in heaven doing that right now. The fact of the matter is, distance makes no difference, but that's what Jesus Christ is doing for us. He ever lives to make continual intercession for us. We who are the saints of God, he is praying for us day by day, moment by moment, all things that are necessary. The Apostle Paul in that beautiful 8th chapter of Romans, puts it this way. He said, who can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ? He goes on and he talks about all the things that are so certain for us in our salvation. And then he goes on and he says, and Jesus Christ is also the one who not only saves us and keeps us and glorifies us and all of that, but also intercedes for us. The Bible in more than one place tells us that that's what Jesus is doing. Do you ever wake up in the morning and think, I wonder what Jesus prayed for about me today? I don't think it's wrong to maybe wonder like that sometimes, once in a while, because you know what? He is praying for you. And the good thing is, he knows all of us. He knows all of our needs, all of our things where we need help, all the places that we need instruction and guidance and direction and all the rest. But he ever lives to keep on praying for you. He's doing that from heaven right now. And you know what? If he's doing it while in heaven right there, you think he's going to get through with that prayer request to the Father who's right there next to him? You know he is. God the Father hears every word. You know why? Because Jesus, number one, always did the will of his Father in heaven. And you know what? If Jesus always did the will of the Father in heaven, and if it's now the Father's will that he continues to intercede for us now, you know what? I'll bet when Jesus always does God's will, I'll bet when he prays, he also prays according to God's will. And he prays for exactly the right things. Sometimes when we pray, we don't always need, or don't always know, rather, how to pray as we ought, because it confuses us sometimes. We think, well, how do I say this right? How do I speak this right? And of course, we know that the Holy Spirit helps us, because by nature, we don't always know how to pray the things that we should, or how to carry out our prayers with God. But you know what? Jesus does. And when he prays for you, it's always on target. It's always exactly what you need. I don't know what kind of problems you're going through right now, or what kind of difficulties. I don't know what kind of blessings you're experiencing. But I'll say this much. I know that whatever it is, Jesus is totally aware of it and is already in prayer about it. Don't give up thinking that somehow God is up there, but he doesn't know and he doesn't care. I'm down here suffering and he's up there living in heaven. Listen, he knows all about our needs. And so when you come to the Lord today in worship, when you come to him in your private times of devotion, when you come to him today in your family devotions or whatever, when you pray to God, that's a wonderful thing to do, and don't ever stop praying to God. But you know what? Just remember, he's praying for you as well. He's your advocate when you sin and need to restore fellowship. He's your guarantee that you're going to be there in heaven with him someday. And you know that when the head is there, the body will be there too. He is your wonderful supplier as he uses you and me to help build his church. And he gives us all the things that we need actively. He's building the church through people like us. He's also the director. We want to focus our minds on the things that really matter, not on the things that the world calls great. We want to focus on what he considers great. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. That's what we want to do. But don't forget too, that on your darkest day, your most difficult moment, Jesus is praying for you. And you know what? When Jesus is on our side, we are always walking in victory, even when emotionally we may not feel like it, but nonetheless it's true. There really is victory in Jesus. He is our Savior forever. He ever liveth on our behalf to intercede for us. That's our Savior. Do you know him today? I hope that you do, because there's no greater Savior. He not only came to do a lot of things for you down here on this earth, he's not done yet. He hasn't given up on any of us. He loves us. And there's no one in the whole world that can love us more than he does. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, a lot of times, religious days like the Ascension get forgotten because, well, they're not as important many times in our minds. We keep things as important, whatever the world has important. The world honors Christmas, it honors Easter, but it often forgets the Ascension. Yet, Lord, we know that because Jesus went back to heaven and now reigns at the right hand of God, that his work is fully completed as far as salvation is concerned, and now the continued ongoing work of the kingdom is happening continually, all because Jesus is on top of it. Thank you, Lord, for being a part of our life and being concerned about the interests that we all have. We're thankful, Lord, that you have not forsaken us, but that you are with us now, even always, even until the day that we will see you again face to face. Lord, until that day, encourage us, build our hope, strengthen our faith, give us the courage of our convictions. We pray all of these things now, asking them not through any worth on our part, but because of Jesus and what he has done. In his name, amen.